Hello, it's Ed Gamble here from the Off-Menu podcast that you're currently listening to. I am on tour now. The show is called Hot Diggity Dog. Make sure you go and get yourself a ticket. I'm probably coming to a town near you if you live in the UK and Ireland. And Ireland, Dublin and Belfast. Do go to edgamble.co.uk, buy yourself a ticket, and I'll see you for an evening of Hot Diggity Dog.
Hot Diggity Dog!
Thank you, James.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to the Off Menu podcast, taking the rice pudding of conversation, putting it in the microwave of good chats, heating it up until the skin forms on the top, and then we take the skin and we eat that, and that's the podcast. What's that?
Huh?
What's that there?
Nothing, buddy. You're doing a good job. I'm really proud of you.
Thank you. We're the skin on top of rice pudding.
We're the skin on top of the rice pudding?
Yeah.
We're not the main rice pudding, though.
No.
What's that?
I don't know. The rest of the podcast.
All the other podcasts, yeah. The delicious rice pudding, and we're the skin
we
on
rise
top of
to the top. We rise to the top.
We rise to the top, and the fun don't stop. My name is James Acaster.
And my name's Ed Gamble, and we are skin.
We are skinny boys. We invite a guest into my dream restaurant. We ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Jack D.
Jack D. Does that mean name... Does that... Does that name mean anything to you?
Well, that's exactly how I wanted that to go.
Oh.
Yes, it means a lot to me, actually. Yes. National treasure. We're in national treasure territory again, are we?
Yep. Get your shovel. We're digging for treasure.
We are indeed. Although I think Jack's just coming in on the tube or whatever.
Yeah, we're not digging him up.
Yeah.
Not today.
But he is indeed a national treasure. Legendary comedian, Jack D. He's also written a book recently, James.
Written a book called What Is Your Problem?
Nothing, mate. I'm just trying to talk about Jack D's book.
Very good joke from Ed.
Not long before I'm a national treasure, you'll be digging me up soon because of that stuff.
I will be digging you up one day because you will be a national treasure. That's going to be fun, you know.
Digging me up?
Well, just when my mates become national treasures, that's going to be a good laugh.
Yeah.
When they go from just being my mates to national treasures and then I'm friends of national treasures, that's going to be fun.
But don't forget, you'll be a national treasure too.
I'll be a national treasure, so I guess it won't seem as big a deal to me, but like... I mean, you know, Joshua Widdicombe, we know now, is like related to Henry VIII and
yes.
stuff. So like maybe that means he'll be a national treasure before the rest of us. He's already got royal blood in him and stuff.
Boring.
Yeah, it is pretty boring. If you saw that, who do you think you are? Whew. I tell you what, people said it was jaw dropping. I was like, yeah, my jaw dropped when I did a big yawn.
Yeah. And you know what I said? That my jaw dropped when I did a big yawn also.
Yeah. Bad luck, Josh. Anyway, we like Jack D, but we will kick him out of the dream restaurant if he chooses an ingredient that we don't like. The secret ingredient, it's called here on Off Menu. And this week, the secret ingredient is...
Grated mozzarella in a bag.
In a bag.
Yes, grated mozzarella in a bag, specifically. I don't like any pre-grated cheese, James. It's all covered in a weird powder. I don't like it.
Yep, I don't like any of them. Mozzarella's the worst because it's so delicious. Usually, yes, we talk on the Off Menu podcast a lot about how burrata has kind of like, you know, nudged it out of the ring of late. But yeah. Still, you know, if I'm making a caprese salad, I think I'd rather have mozzarella.
Yeah.
So, you know, I wouldn't want grated mozzarella on there. I can't even imagine. If you're making your own pizza, surely you want to put some fresh mozzarella on there yourself. You don't want to put a grated mozzarella on there.
What I would say is that sometimes you do want the sort of slightly harder, more rubbery mozzarella for a pizza. Sometimes, I don't know, it melts differently, but never the great pre-grated. And grated mozzarella in a bag was a suggestion on Twitter from Bex PS.
Bleasdale!
Yes, indeed. Bex PS or Bleasdale.
Yes, for short.
One of the two.
Well, if Jack D picks it. And Jack D's talked about pizza before in his stand-up. I saw him do a whole thing about frozen pizza, but he said he hated it.
Okay, so we might be safe.
We might be safe. We'll see.
Yeah. So, can't wait to have Jack in the Dream Restaurant. So let's open the doors now.
Here we go.
It's the off-menu of Jack D.
Jack D.
Welcome, Jack, to the Dream Restaurant.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
Welcome, Jack D, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Well, it's amazing to be here, and it's so hard to book a table here that it's. I'm glad I thought in advance and booked the table before you even started the podcast.
You did. When did you book it again? Remind us how long ago it was.
It was about 2014.
Yeah.
When I knew you guys were going to be in town and this whole thing was, you know, in the mix and a possibility, I just got hold of your people and you know, we breakfasted and I said, please count me in.
So when you breakfasted with our people, how far in advance did you have to book the table for breakfast?
That was about 4 months before they agreed to that. So, you know, I put in the legwork to be here today and I know it's going to be worthwhile because, you know, I've eaten in some of the best places in the world. And they always say, but have you done off menu with James and Ed? And I said, not yet. And they said, well, you wait.
At these other restaurants, that's
what they all say. I mean, you know, all the big chefs, Blumenthal was saying, they have got some tricks. So I'm excited to be here.
What are you say you've eaten at the best restaurants in the world? Have you got like a top three? Have you got a number one?
When I say I've eaten at the best restaurants in the world, that's a lie.
You looked absolutely horrified when James started to ask a follow up question
about
that.
For the purposes of keeping that little bit going. I lied about that, but I'm happy to have lied, and I've eaten in some nice restaurants, but I don't like posh restaurants very much, not very much. I've done that thing a couple of times where you think, oh yeah, let's go to that one, that restaurant that was on telly and it looked amazing, but you go and it's all very so clever and all that, but I don't know. Do you know, I've got this thing where in those restaurants where what I like to do, you know, when they're over attentive and they bring the starter to you and they tell you what it is and they point with their little finger as well at the stuff and it says, well, you have this and you have that and a little bit of foam and then about 20 seconds later they come back and say, is everything fine with your meal? But what I've cracked it because I know what to do, and it is you just go, yeah, it's all right. And if you do that, it deflates them. It puts them in their place and they say, oh, we're not as good as we thought we were.
There's no, because if you said, oh, I don't like it at all, they could go, he doesn't understand it.
Yeah, totally, totally. Yeah.
That's, but it's all right. This is it. I understand it and I think it's all right.
Yeah, and I think it's okay. It's I think you've wasted your life doing this. But I'm going to eat it anyway.
And that makes you feel good? When you do that?
It gives me a more peaceful experience at the restaurant. So yeah. I don't want to be asked every 20 minutes. I don't want to kind of reassure the guy all the time. You know, I think, you know, you grow up. You chose this profession. You don't need me always telling you how good it is.
I think I've said this on the podcast before, but my dad, if someone is like over attentive with pouring wine or pouring the water, within the first 20 seconds of them doing that, it'll go, just leave that. I'm going to do that. Yeah, I've got that covered.
I like your dad. I'm with him on that. I think he's exactly right. You just think, oh, leave me. Or you take a sip of the water and they're back.
Yeah, oh, that's the worst.
What is your problem?
Yeah, that is the worst. When it's one sip and then they top it up and they look at you as if you're meant to be like, you're really on it. You're amazing.
Oh, thank you.
And really, you're like,
this is amazing. It's a glass of water that never gets any emptier.
Which would be fine on its own. If there was a glass of water that replenished itself magic.
Then I would be telling people about that restaurant. But this is not what happens. You've got someone coming to the table wanting you to admire them for being so diligent. And that's not why I'm there. I'm there to eat a meal.
I think you would really get on with Ed's dad.
I feel like you'd have a lovely meal together in absolute silence. With no waiters daring to come over. I think it'd be great.
It sounds about right to me. It sounds about right.
So you're not like a massive foodie then?
Look, I'm not massively into going to every restaurant that I hear about. That is not really my bag, but I do love food. I love food and I spend a lot of time thinking about food and I can cook. Even when I'm on the road, I make sure that I eat fresh food. I never eat fast food. I can't do it anymore. Once you stop, you can't go back to it.
I remember stand-up routine of yours about frozen pizza. Do you remember that?
No, what did I say about that?
Absolutely loved it. It was a video that me and my brother used to watch a lot. It's the one where you wear the orange suit, I think. You say that you look like a Sainsbury's manager.
I know that. I remember that too. I can't remember the frozen pizza, but...
My favourite line of it is you saying how much they've nailed it, and you do a thing and pinching yourself and going, am I in Rome? Pinch your own leg.
Yeah.
I think about it every time I have a frozen pizza.
Yeah. I've never heard you do an impression of me before, but that was...
Spot on, wasn't it?
I had to pinch myself to...
Yeah.
While you were pinching yourself to do that, to think, who am I looking at?
Yeah.
He's good at impressions.
It's a mirror.
I'm very good at impressions, actually.
Yeah, no, I know, because I have heard this podcast, so I know you have a talent. You have a gift.
Yeah.
It's something you can do, and you use it so well. How about you, Ed? Do you do impressions?
Who do you want me to do?
Can
I do everyone?
Yeah, you do everyone. Can you do everyone does? Can you do Michael Crawford from It Ain't from Some Mothers Do Have 'Em, which is going to alienate your demographic?
Yes. Yeah. What sort of things did he say?
He used to say, Betty."
Ooh, Betty.
Ooh, Betty.
Not Betty.
Yeah.
Like Bop.
All right. Yeah. Go. But he used to say, "Ooh, Betty."
Dogs don't know what's. No, the cat's done a whoopsie in my slippers.
The cat's done a whoopsie in my. What the fuck is this show?
You've got a book out. That's exciting.
I have. Yes, I've got an impression of a book out. And it's me being an agony uncle and helping the country with their issues and dilemmas, giving advice, being, you know, people turn to me in a time of crisis. It has happened all my life, and this last year has been no different. So that's what the book is called.
And these are real letters from real members of the public.
They are. They were fielded and brought in by the publisher. The publisher did a mail out. So. In as far as you're actually still a member of the public, if you're on a mail out list from a publisher, then that is the case. Yeah.
How would you describe your advice style, Jack?
I think it's down to earth. I think it's a kind of take it with a pinch of salt type of thing. Step back and maybe see if you can laugh at the problem as well for a bit, and don't take yourself so seriously. And it's sometimes I feel people, we live in a culture where everyone's hugging each other. And I think that needs to finish. I think we should slap each other more often.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
I think a slap brings you back to earth.
And
in a way, this book is a slap around the face if there was ever a literary version of that.
Do you want to name some people that you've slapped in the past? Give some shout outs.
I've given a pretty hard slap. There was an ice cream man who came down our road much earlier than he should have, and I had a bit of a to do with him, and he actually stepped out of his ice cream van.
Yeah.
Now, have you ever seen an ice cream man not in his ice cream man van? Because it's just a different thing, and he's not in his right environment. And I found it threatening. Yeah. And it's a flight or fight moment. And I choose to fight.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so he got a slap.
Yeah.
What I call a 99. He got a
And
that sorted it. He hasn't been around since.
No, he wouldn't come back again.
No.
If we gave you some of our problems, would you be able to agony uncle us?
It depends. I've sensed there might be some pretty heavy issues going on.
Could give you problems that we've already solved.
Oh, right.
And then you could tell us, and if, you know, see how close you were to the actual solution.
That's almost like a trick problem then. Go on.
You go first.
What was yours?
I mean, that's a hospital pass, isn't it? You set up the premise and then pass it to me first.
Yeah. Well, I know what
you've absolutely dropped me in it there.
I know what you should do, though.
What?
You should do, remember the operation you had.
What? I'm not going to ask Jack about my penis operation.
Just ask him. Describe your symptoms and see if he will get the answer right.
All right, okay. I didn't hear any of that, so I've got no clues or anything.
Jack, I'm so sorry. This is the first time we've met each other.
Yeah.
And James has forced me into this position.
All right.
And I don't imagine this is the sort of letter you got from the people on the publisher's mailing list. Jack, and there's already been a solution to this, so I don't want you to worry too much.
Okay.
I've got quite a tight foreskin.
Right.
Apparently you're supposed to be able to sort of pull it all the way back.
Yeah.
But mine doesn't really do that. It just sort of stays quite tight at the end. Almost like someone's sort of tied a bag, you know, like a carrier bag.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, so.
The trouble is, when you tie a knot in a carrier bag, you can't really use it again.
No.
So that would be difficult. I think you need to, that needs a snip, doesn't it? You need to go get it done. That needs a small operation.
Yeah.
I think that needs, you know, scissors.
Yeah.
And clean scissors.
How much should you chop off? The entire end or just the the foreskin?
To be kind to Ed, let's talk in percentages rather than measurements.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I think probably we're talking the top 10% needs to be trimmed. And then I think you can expect it to be a slow recovery.
Yeah.
But that I think is what would sort. I mean, it's a very common problem.
So good advice, Jack.
Yeah.
Now, James, your turn.
We start with still a sparkling water.
No, your turn for a problem.
Huh?
Your turn for a problem.
Hmm. Okay.
Ask Jack about your depression.
Oh, yes. Jack D, would you like still a sparkling water?
Every time I like a sparkling water because it's good for your digestion. I tell you, I've had very bad heartburn in the past. This is just, you know, boring but true thing. And I actually find sparkling water is the one thing. So I have a small tin of sparkling water nearly everywhere I go in case I get heartburn because it's so uncomfortable. So I've got them in the glove compartment of the car. I've got them on my bedside table. I've got, you know, I've got one in my desk drawer at home, sparkling water. So that was always what I have.
You would not think that something fizzy can sort out heartburn.
I don't understand why it works. It doesn't help with penis problems, but it's a magic cure for...
I don't know if it did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I suppose you could use a can.
Pour some sparkling water on your penis?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
Yep.
Could do.
Fizz the problems away.
So that's how we got back to dick jokes from...
Not
still
bad.
Still a sparkling.
Not bad stuff. So right now, how many cans of sparkling water have you got stashed in different places?
Probably 7 or 8.
Wow.
Yeah, at least. Yeah, 7 or 8,
I think. Do you remember where they all are? Or are you sometimes in a situation, like when you find a fiver in your pocket, you're just like, oh, there's a can of sparkling water in there.
I've got them so strategically placed that I'm so used to knowing that they're there that I do it. And it's, funnily enough, I don't actually get heartburn that much anymore. But the sparkling water's there because, you know, I'm no fool. I know that these things can reoccur. And then I don't want to be caught out.
What brand are you going for every time?
All right, if you want to put me on the spot, brand-wise, you can get small cans of Perrier, you know, not the bottles, but the... And the reason Perrier is very fizzy.
Yeah.
And it seems to be the fizzy thing that makes it work. I don't know whether CO2 shortage is going to be a problem.
Sure.
But...
You scared about that? You worried?
But I am a bit. But then CO2 is a weird thing, isn't it? Because it's got this kind of split personality. Because in one way, it's just used for making fizzy drinks, which is a lovely thing. Mm-hmm. And then on the other hand, it's used for shooting animals in the head. So where do you go? What's with CO2? It's a strange thing, isn't it? There are not many elements in the universe that have got that kind of dual personality.
Yeah, there's not many things I can think of.
Yeah.
That are used for shooting animals in the head, but also quite nice. And you would
actually make for a nice party drink.
Yeah. Also, Perrier. Did you win the Perrier?
Oh, well, thanks for bringing that up. I didn't. I was nominated.
Okay, and, sorry. Yeah. I thought you'd won.
No, I didn't, but I was
nominated.
That's
why they only gave him the small cans.
Yeah. You always get the small one.
Yeah.
Who won?
Some bloke called Frank. I forget his second name. And another bloke was Eddie. Anyway, but it's all past history now, but it doesn't matter.
Pop it up as all bread! Pop it up as all bread, Jack D! Pop it up as all bread!
I think it would probably be bread... Because maybe it's discriminatory of me to say that poppadoms don't suit other food. I love a poppadom when I'm having curry. It's got to be a go-to, but I haven't planned to eat curry at this meal, so it'll be bread.
Do you like curry, though?
I love curry,
Do you like the smell of curry, Jack?
I like the smell of it when I'm cooking it.
Do you like the smell of curry when you're performing, when you're on stage?
Oh, I know where this is going. I know where this is going. Yeah. This was... do you know that Ivo Graham?
Yeah, yes.
Right. He's a comedian.
Yeah.
Right. He's a right bastard.
Yeah.
He was doing my support on a little bit of a warm-up tour that I was doing about three or four years ago. In fact, no, we were sort of splitting the bill because we were both trying out new material, but technically he was my support on that. And he'd done the support in this little theatre... In Haywards Heath or something like that, and then I was on stage, doing my shtick and talking and and I could suddenly smell curry. And I thought, what's going on? And I said to the audience, anyone else smell curry? And I looked in the wings, and what it was Ivo Graham had set himself up with a little table and a full bloody curry while he was watching my show from the wings. And he's telling that story like it was a good thing that he did. Without realising, And then another one, he didn't even turn up on time. So I ended up being his support act.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I warmed him up, and then he arrives like some big diva. With a big fur coat on, I had to sort of get the train home while he had a great time with the audience that I just warmed up for him.
You didn't think to order a takeaway and eat it at the wings?
I should have thought, if I'd been quick enough thinking or vindictive enough, that is exactly what I would have done. But I didn't, no, but he's,
I believe, actually, according to Ivo, what you said, you didn't say, can anyone smell curry? You said, can anyone smell cup of soup?
Well, I'll tell you why. I would have confused that because nearly all theatres backstage smell of cup of soup.
That's right. That's such a good observation. Yeah,
they smell of cup of soup and microwaved ready meals that the crew get ready for themselves. Christ knows what their colons are like. But those places stink of that stuff. And it's partly why I can't eat it. I cannot eat that stuff.
Got to eat cup of soup.
Can't eat any of that stuff that's got all those dry ingredients in, sort of powdered garlic and stuff. It makes you feel sick to smell it.
Some of them have got little dry bits of sweet corn in as well. I hate that.
Anything that also appears in a turd is not what you want on your plate, is it?
Have you ever tried
I have
soup?
Tried one back in a long, long time ago, and no one will know this, but there was an actress called Thora Heard.
Yes.
Who, a very old lady, and she used to advertise cup of soup. And I thought, okay, fair enough. If you put yourself out to say it's nice, so I'll try it. And I did, but I didn't think it was as good as she said it was on the advert.
But you trusted her.
I trusted her.
Just before I heard.
Never again.
You had one cup of soup.
Yeah.
So bread. Let's get onto the bread because I was so eager to talk to you about Ivo eating a curry side of stage that we got distracted somewhat.
That was a race, by the way.
Yeah.
As soon as Jack said poppadoms, I was like, right, I'm going to have to ask about the curry.
And what's interesting is neither of us mentioned that we were going to talk about that in this episode, but we both knew that it was going to come up.
It's just like a competitive interview. I've never had this before.
Yep, is that what it is? What kind of bread are we talking?
Well, I mean, I like proper bread. I love ciabatta. That's probably my favourite. I really, or possibly a focaccia sometimes. I know, depending what I'm going to eat. But I've made bread in the past. I made bread a bit. And I'm one of these people, if I start doing a thing, I get into it. And then I sort of said, I know, I'll always make our bread now. I'll never buy another loaf of bread. And, you know, this will be my thing that people don't know about me. And it's, Jackie never buys bread. He always makes his, oh, does he? I didn't know that about Jack. And then, but after about a month, I got so fed up with it. It's so repetitive, you know, so repetitive. Yes. And I tried the sourdough thing and that, again, Have you ever tried making sourdough bread?
I've not.
I keep thinking about it, and then I look up how to do it, and you have to get the starter and all of that.
You have to get the starter.
See, there's a baker's near us that does a really nice sourdough.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Why put a nice baker out of business just because you want to show off to your friends? Why not better to say, I got a nice baker up the road and I got some bread from him, rather than, ooh, look at me, I've made some bread.
So what's the starter? What's that?
Well, I'm surprised you've not asked if I've got any allergies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
I mean, in a lot of restaurants, they do that now, don't they?
Yeah, that's true.
Any they allergies, do. Yeah.
I mean, have you got any allergies?
No.
Okay. But you like being asked?
I like being asked because it's part of the experience. But
Hang on, you're asking about the sourdough starter. Yes. You're not asking for Jack's starter.
Yeah, you guys mentioned you have to have a starter for the bread.
Good spot.
Yeah. So right. I was asking what that is.
Sourdough bread is made. You begin the process of making bread. Instead of adding yeast, you add a bit of live bread dough into it, and that contains the rising agent in it.
Which and actually, you tried to do that?
Yeah. So you have to keep it going in your cupboard, this starter. So you and then you've got to keep feeding it with water.
It's like a pet, right?
Oh, it is like a pet. It's like a shit pet that you keep in the cupboard. And you feed it every day, and then I overdid it, and the lid had come off, and it was all coming all off the shelf, and it was just blurring out like a sort of, I had to take it to the vet and have it put down. Again. It was the kindest thing possible, but you know.
So before we move on to your starter, do you have any allergies?
No, I don't. No.
If I said, you know, when you leave here, you have to have acquired an allergy. What one would you most like to walk out of here with?
There aren't that many cool allergies, are there? I wouldn't mind being allergic to something like plasticine, right? I could just say, no, I can't go near it. I can't have it near me. So if you no plasticine,
because you don't want to go near plasticine anyway, right?
That's a convenient allergy because no one is really going to have plasticine with them unless you go to a creche or something. That's not going to happen. So you could live with that one, but other ones are just a nuisance. And it's just a way of people, it's attention seeking.
Yeah.
That is in my book.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
How much attention do they get when they've got an allergy?
It depends how ill they get. You know, I'm not saying I'd ignore them, if you know, I would help, but I still think it's, you know, really, did you have to?
Well, they're there, they're all ballooning up.
I know,
I know, come on, did you have to?
Yeah.
Slapping them.
Spoils the atmosphere. But no, I've no allergies, no.
So your starter, your dream starter.
Dream starter, I think I'm going to go for, I like oysters. I do like oysters. But Jane, my wife, isn't that keen, but we've come up with a solution whereby... If you can grill the oysters with a delicious bit of little bits and pieces on top of it, you can improvise really, but a nice bit of breadcrumb, even a tiny bit of garlic, some tiny chopped up chorizo or something like that, you can do that. And or you can do the more classic ones with, there's a spinach one you can do, you put a little bit of spinach on top and grill it, and it's delicious, you know. It is a very nice thing. I like an oyster. I like them raw, really. But I would do that for my starter.
Grill them.
Just not too much so that the actual meat of the oyster is still nice and, you know, succulent. Mm-hmm. It's very delicious. It's very good.
The variety, all the different combinations you just mentioned. Would you want all that on a tray?
I might do that. Yeah, I might. I actually do it at the table in front of my guests.
Well, yeah, you could. I mean, yeah. Look, if you want, this is your dream meal.
Yeah.
But if you want to cook at your dream meal,
okay, right,
you're very welcome to.
I might have a table side raclette. You know, like I can actually just do it at the side of the table.
You really don't want the waiters to come over at all, do you?
I would rather they didn't, and then I can do it all and serve it up at the table. But little bits of that would be very nice. I think that'd be a classy starter.
Would you like to shuck yourself?
I can do my own shucking, but I wouldn't mind them already open, to be honest.
It's quite hard work.
It is quite hard work, and I wouldn't. You've got to hold them right, and then get the and there's always a chance you could put the knife through your wrist, and then again, that's a vibe killer.
Yeah. Attention seeking.
At a restaurant, isn't it?
It's like muscles that are like that. I'm very put off ever ordering mussels.
Are you?
So I'm just like, forget it.
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you saying that because you on another version of this podcast where you said you weren't into the mussels. Yeah.
I mean it. And also, like, once I was at a restaurant and you sat down and on the table already was a jar of pistachios, and it was just the menu. You didn't order stuff, so they just bought you whatever. Yeah. And it was mussels. And at one point, I was there with mussels and pistachios on the table. I was like, how strong do they think I am? I've got all this stuff.
Well, pistachios are the vegan mussels, aren't they?
Yeah, they're vegan mussels. They're
little tiny vegan mussels. Yeah. I hadn't thought of them that way. But yeah, you're right. But you don't have to be strong to open a mussel.
They're already open, mate. Do you use one empty mussel as a tool? That's what I was told to do.
Really? You use them as a pincer.
As a pincer.
I don't do that. No.
Oh, that's
will it be covered in all the sauce?
No. Once you've kind of got it clean, you can just use it as a lovely little thing. That's a proper life. Well, you're tired because you don't do it right. You've gone the wrong way around with it. You know, you're.
I'll admit that.
That's why you're struggling with the mussels. But they taste nice. Don't you think they taste nice?
Yeah, I do, but not nice enough that it's worth the effort.
Oh, right, okay. Yeah.
I want it to be like worth the effort, you know.
I feel the same about prawns in their shells sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I don't mind doing a prawn in the shell, but then you get crab and lobster where you're actually having to get hammers and proper tools in to do it. That's hard work, isn't it?
Yeah. And if you're someone, not like us, but if you're someone who, like, you know, you work as like a mason or something like that, it's a busman's holiday, isn't it? You're there to have a nice evening.
Yeah, you'd be able to do it. But I'm very adept at all that. I'm good at it because I've worked in restaurant kitchens in my past life. I've prepared all that stuff.
You burnt a man's hand.
I know how to do it. Yeah, yeah.
Did you know that?
No.
Jack once burnt a man's hand, scalded his hand with boiling hot water.
Because he asked for a finger bowl.
Yeah.
But asked for it by clicking his fingers at me.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Fair enough.
You won't be clicking your fingers again tonight.
I would never, ever click my fingers at a waiter. I use the mussel shell. It's much easier.
Yeah.
You just click it together like a maraca.
Action.
Yeah. You mentioned your wife, Jane, a minute ago.
I did, yeah.
Who you talked about a lot when you were in Big Brother and how much you love her.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that still the case?
Yeah, yes, it is. Yeah, she's gone the distance. We've been together since 87 or something.
Wow.
1987. Wow. And then what year were you born?
85,
86.
Okay, so a long time, that is. Now I'm talking to people who were babies when I met her.
Yeah.
So that's cool. And I think she's probably a keeper. I've come to that.
Yeah. That's cool. How much do you love her, you reckon?
Sometimes there are times when you think, well, I don't know, is this worth it? Can I really keep this up forever and ever? Is that what we're into? But, you know, it's a funny thing, isn't it? You know, love, you can't turn it off, can you?
Yeah.
Well, maybe you can. Maybe some people, maybe they can.
These are genuinely the sorts of questions that James asks outside of the podcast as well, by the way. When his friends start going out with people, he will start asking them about love as if he's an alien.
Yeah.
You're in love, are you? And what does that feel like?
Yeah. You're like Spock or someone who just doesn't understand human emotions.
Trying to understand.
But really wants to be involved.
Yeah, like, I like hearing about it. Do you think that encounters with people like Ivo Graham, who you described as a bastard, do you think that that helps you like really appreciate how much you love your wife and what a good relationship you have.
Yes, yes, yes. Because when you meet someone like Ivo Graham, and realise that you know that's the other end of the spectrum.
Yeah,
you've got people you love at one end, and then you got people like Ivo Graham at the other end who eat curry in the wings while you're trying to entertain people. You know, completely beyond the pale, really beyond redemption.
Yeah.
So, it does. In a way, it is a yardstick. You can measure your love for someone by what you consider, what you think about Ivo.
Ivo proximity is, is what it's known as. We all do it.
What's the main course that's following those up?
I love, it's probably my favourite dish probably is confit duck. That's what I like, confit. So you know what that is.
Yeah. For the listeners who don't know, do you
quite defensive the way you come out of that one.
I do. I don't know what duck confit is.
Yeah, just because I'm from Kendal, don't pick up.
I'm from Kettering.
Kettering. Yeah.
He's got material about Kendal as well, though. Kendal mint cake.
I have got Kendal, but I did Kettering.
Are you impressed by how much I know about your career, Jack? I've known about the finger bowl.
Yeah.
I've known about the frozen pizza. I know about your Kendal
mint cake. And Jack didn't even remember the frozen pizza material.
I'm always being asked about material. I just don't remember it. Once I stop doing it, I don't remember it anymore. That's the thing. It's gone.
The Kendal mint cake routine.
And Kendal mint cake, yeah.
Are you halfway up a mountain and you've got your Kendal mint cake? That's how you say it, through your gritted teeth.
Yeah.
Are you at the point now, Jack, where you've done material on everything you've ever come across, though?
I imagine I probably have. I've done whole routines on stuff and then remembered that I actually did that routine 20 years ago. I haven't written it at all. I just remembered it.
Plagiarising yourself.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, this stuff's flowing out of me now. It's great. I should jog my memory more often.
Do you still not like Kendal mint cake?
Kendal mint cake is just a lump of minty sugar. That's all it is. It doesn't deserve to be called a cake. It's not a cake. It's nothing to do with cake. If you went on Bake Off and said I'm making Kendal mint cake, they'd say that doesn't count. It's not a cake. And you'd never get the handshake from Paul Hollywood. Haven't you? You did Bake Off.
I did Bake Off, did pretty well.
Did you watch James's episode of Bake Off?
I'm afraid I didn't, no, because I was out on that night and what happened? Was it
went pretty well? Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. And they make worse stuff with sugar, though, on that show.
Yeah, they do.
Don't they?
Oh, they do, yeah. I mean, they make some right cack, don't they? Come up some right rubbish. I actually, in my new show at the moment, I do a whole thing about Celebrity Bake Off.
Do you?
Yeah, because I've been asked to do it a few times, and I've just... the routine is about why I won't do it.
You won't do it? But you did Celebrity Big Brother. That's more of a commitment, isn't it?
That's partly why I won't do it, because I learned early with all that stuff is don't do stuff with the word celebrity in it, really. I suppose basically what it is.
But you did, you nailed that.
I did, yeah. But I was kind of lucky because it was the first ever version of it.
Yeah.
And Big Brother was a novelty and the first celebrity one was a novelty and it was for comic relief. And so I almost treated it like being in a sitcom, you know. Mm-hmm. Think of everyone as a character. Think of yourself as what character are you in this, mm-hmm. and just play along to that. And you know, all the other people just sort of did their thing.
I can't even remember who else was in it, but no, you escaped the house.
I remember you escaping. Yeah.
Do you think
you
could escape the tent if you went on Bake Off? Do you think you could escape the tent and they wouldn't notice?
It depends what the security's like, because it can be surprisingly quite harsh. But I got out of Big Brother quite easily, as it happened. It wasn't difficult, and they, you know, it is enclosed, but I did find a way out. So it's one of those things. I probably, if I was on Bake Off, I think I might have I might have a Stanley knife in my back pocket so I can cut the tent open and just get out, you know, just get out and run.
I wish I'd thought of that.
Yeah.
Wait, this duck confit duck.
Yeah.
You'll just describe the best one you've ever had to the listeners?
Well, I think the thing with confit duck is the dish that is duck, it's duck leg and basically and thigh that is is cooked very slowly in fat. Mm-hmm. And the reason for doing that is that you can preserve it into a jar and keep it and eat it in the winter when there aren't ducks around or whatever. But anyway.
I was with you. I was with you all the way through that description.
I let myself down there. Yeah.
You really did.
But there are no ducks. Never mind. I got one in the jar.
Yeah.
But that means, therefore, it is a dish that is a preserved dish, as it were. So actually, the ones that you can buy, if you buy in a nice food shop, you know, even if it's in a tin or a jar, glass jar, confit duck is probably that's almost the best I've had, really. Mm. Some of the good ones, yeah. So it's a thing I do at home quite a lot,
right?
And then I has the added benefit that you can lie about it and say you did it. And people say, "Oh, how did you do this?" Well, it's just, I got the recipe. I'll send it to you later. But it is a delicious thing. I love it.
So it's really slow cooked, like, and you put
very slow and tender. It's incredibly tender and melt in the mouth. I love it.
Do you think you could catch a duck if you had to do something like make your own duck confit?
I might be able to catch a duck if it was in a small enough room.
Yeah,
yeah.
How big a room we're talking?
Just slightly bigger than a duck.
Slightly bigger than a duck, probably. And then
a
just
squash court?
Get in there. Yeah, not in a squash court. I wouldn't have a chance. I would not have a chance because they can stay above you, can't they?
Yeah.
You can do that. They've got
so it's got to be a low...
It would have to be a low-ceilinged, very small room.
Yeah.
Where there's basically nowhere to go.
A port-a-loo or something.
A port-a-loo, possibly, but then that's not very appetising. Sure. But, yeah. I suppose with a squash court, if I had a squash racket, I might be in with more of a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And some squash courts have that viewing gallery.
Yes.
They could escape through there, so you'd need to lock that
and then
down,
you're done for. Yeah, yeah. You're not ever going
to
get
really
that.
Taunt you. The duck could get up to the viewing gallery and just watch you from the gallery. Yeah, down
yeah.
And be like,
yeah, yeah. Just.
Because when they quack as well, it sounds a bit like they're saying Jack, so that would be really...
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah.
Quack.
Yeah. Now, I can't believe we're all doing it now.
What if you... Here's a question for you, Jack. What if... You went down to the pond to catch a duck or whatever. You're looking at all the ducks and you're thinking about confit duck and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And one of the ducks went, Jack D, at you. Yeah. And said, Jack D, said your full name.
Yeah.
How would that affect the rest of your day? Do you think you'd go and tell people about it? Do you think you would worry that you were crazy and that maybe you'd just imagine the duck?
And would you enjoy confit duck as much the next time?
Because people would say to you, Jack, it probably just said quack. Probably just quacking.
Yeah,
not
that's why I'd probably keep quiet about it. I think I'd just think my atmosphere. That was I would just file that under things that never happened, and then just just move on from that moment.
You wouldn't even tell Jane.
No, I wouldn't. No, I wouldn't tell Jane. I wouldn't tell anyone. I would keep that to myself. I'd go to the grave with that. But a duck said my name out once.
Would it affect the next time you have confit duck? Would you like it as much if you? Because obviously you can still remember when the duck said your name.
It's an interesting point, isn't it? And it might slightly haunt me really if I felt that that what I'm eating had once actually wanted to start a conversation with me.
Make it difficult for you.
It would. You'd think, I wonder what else he would have said.
Yeah.
Yeah. I now want to ask you different. Things that animals could do to you and whether you would tell Jane about it. So if a rabbit waved at you with its little paw and did a little nod as it was waving, would you tell Jane?
I wouldn't Jane takes those things too seriously. She'd want to know which rabbit, where was the rabbit, and I'd have to go into all the details. And I'm not good at chatting. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, look, that's all there is to it. There was a rabbit waved and nodded. And there's nothing more to say. I don't know any more about the rabbit than that, right? And so that I would find difficult. So that's why I don't say much.
Yeah.
Because people always want to know a bit more.
What if a horse opened your car door for you?
Mm. If that happened,
tell Jane.
Well, no, I wouldn't, because I think she would find, well, why was a horse opening your car door? And I'd say, well, I don't know why. I don't know why that happened, but it did happen. But she'd want to get to the bottom of it.
Yeah.
And find out what actually happened.
Yeah.
And And I'm just not good at that. I'm not a detailed person. Mm-hmm. I'll just say, look, it happened. Just take my word for it. You don't need to know anymore. Neither do I. That's just as well because I don't.
So you can't imagine a situation where an animal would do something out of the ordinary to you and you ever tell Jane about it.
I think I'd keep it all to myself.
What if it was a pet that was in the house? You could even say to her, it was that goldfish right there.
I suppose if it was a pet, I might kind of tell Jane as an observation that the goldfish waved at me with its little paw and then nodded. And that was a nice moment. And she said, "Oh, did he? Yeah, that's nice. It's you know, worth keeping the goldfish for that."
I'm very excited that you've chosen Duck Confit Confit Duck because I do love duck and I think it's underrepresented on this podcast.
It is underrepresented. Yeah. And I don't think we've had a confit duck.
We haven't. It's the first time that dish has been chosen.
Oh, well, I'm pleased about that.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Today's episode of Off Menu is sponsored by Aura. James, are you ready to win Mother's Day?
I am, Ed. I want to cement my reputation as the best gift giver in the family. I'm going to give my mom an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
May I say, James, I absolutely love the class and elegance with which you use the word mom, because this is for US listeners.
All of your moms deserve a good Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos.
Yeah, I think your mum's going to love looking back on your childhood memories, seeing what you're up to today, seeing what you were up to back in the day, and even better, with unlimited storage and an easy-to-use app, you can keep updating mom's frame with new photos, so it's the gift that keeps on giving, James.
Ed, answer me this. Who is the best gift giver in your life?
I'd probably say my wife is a very good gift giver. Not that my mom is not a fantastic gift giver, but my wife's very good at little surprise things. She says, I've only got you a few things, and then there'll be little surprises, things that we've seen throughout the rest of the year. I'll say to my wife, I like that, and then I forget about it, and then on the day, there's some lovely little gifts there for me that remind us of the year that we've just spent together.
Oh, if you like being reminded of stuff, may I suggest photographs?
That's a very good point, James. I think we should get ourselves an Aura digital picture frame and put some of our wedding photos on them.
Right now, Ed, Aura has a great deal for Mom's Day, Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code OFFMENU at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Dream side dish.
Yeah, dream side dish really would be something like, you know, those little, I think it's called pimentier, where you've got the little cubed potatoes that are fried with bits of lard on and stuff. That's a very nice thing. It's quite a rich thing to have with it. But if I wasn't being indulgent, it would be something like, you know, green beans. And I love green beans. I'm into that. Yeah, I like a green bean. You can do everything with them. They're great.
You've had them squeak in your mouth?
They do squeak in your mouth, don't they?
Yeah, I hate
they
that.
Do. Horrible.
You don't like it?
Horrible.
That puts me off a green bean if it squeaks in my mouth. I can't eat the rest of it.
A nightmare meal for you would be green bean, halloumi, and mice.
I love halloumi, but the squeaky element does put you off. And then if the mice were there as well, and then someone... Right. scraping their nails down a chalkboard and then like moving a bit of polystyrene around.
Yeah,
as well.
I've got a problem with like forks on plates and stuff. I don't like that, but it doesn't bother me with the green beans. If you cook them like the French cook them, they cook them for quite a long time, so they're much softer, and they put a lot of butter in the water with it, and then they're very succulent and not squeaky.
The butter lubes it up to an extent that the squeak goes.
It does, yeah. I never heard. I thought I'd hear those words in the same sentence, but.
So you like things that are cooked for a long time?
Oh, well, let's jump into conclusions, James. Not necessarily.
You said the duck, the beans.
Okay, all right, yeah. But the oysters are like, it's a flash. Yeah, basically just show them the grill. Yeah, so I like that French way of doing it, partly because, especially if I'm in a restaurant, I don't want the chef to go any, you know, have any shortcuts. Mm-hmm. Like, that's when you get your squeaky beans, and that's because he just couldn't be bothered to cook them long enough so they don't squeak anymore, and that annoys me. I don't mind the squeak, but it annoys me that they're squeaking because it's a lazy chef.
Do you complain? Have you ever complained in a restaurant?
Once or twice, I suppose, I've said, like, this isn't quite right. This isn't what I want.
Clip your fingers?
Yeah. No, never clip my fingers. Never clip my fingers. My wife once did, and we had to leave because it was really long time ago. And we're having this meal in Bristol in a sort of gastro pub place, and we're surrounded by, you know, other punters and everything like that. And Jay said, "It's not very nice here, is it?" I said, "No, it's not. The food's not very good." And I was like, "No, I'm sorry about that. I'm going to find somewhere else." And then the next thing, she literally just said, "The cook's a cunt." And I looked up, and she was just eating as if nothing had happened. And everyone was looking around, couldn't see who'd said it. And I started eating as well, pretending I had. But she did that. She might deny it, but she did say that. And afterwards we come out, I said, "What'd you do that for?" She said, "I just needed to know what it would feel like." So, well, you know.
And everyone looked over and saw you. By that point, you were...
Well, the great thing was, everyone was looking everywhere because no one knew where it came from.
You know, styled it out.
It was just...
I respect it.
Yeah, so do I.
I know, I don't. I respect that.
So are we going with the cubed potatoes or are we going with the slow green beans for your dream side?
I think that could be very good. Very good meal, yeah.
But which one are we going for?
Oh, I'm
going
to go for the... Because it's a special occasion, I think it'll be the potatoes, yeah.
Potatoes.
So are they like... They're cubed potatoes with lardons?
Yeah, they're sautéed with lardons.
So they're crispy.
So like little mini roast potatoes.
Nice.
Mm. And they're beautiful, and you've got the flavour of the lardon or whatever you have with it. It's really nice. Really,
I feel
nice.
Like it's a shame to not give Jack the beans as well.
Yeah.
Because think about that, that round meal, the duck, and then the luxurious potatoes, and then the green.
That
the
would
green
be
beans.
Nice. Yeah, yeah.
I'll go with that. I mean, you describe each dish so nicely that I think giving you those, you know...
It's nice to know.
Kind of think I'd like to eat those. And I'll happily bring them over. Where's the best place you've had this potato? Was this potato thing got a name?
I think it is pomponmenti. I might have got that wrong. I might be getting... Because there's so many potato dishes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just everything. Pom everything, you know. there's pom parisien, maybe it is. I can't remember. Or
pom bear?
Pom... You could
pom
be...
Pom bears, yeah.
Or pom... Pom-poms. I don't know. Pom-poms. It could be any pom. If there are people who know what it is who are listening, they'll say, "No, you're wrong, Jack." Or they might say, "Yeah, you're right, Jack." If I am right. But that's I really should have looked that one up. But that's what I would like. Where I've had it is it's a classic sort of brasserie dish. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where you go to a nice brasserie. The origins of that is French, and that is that's exactly the style of food I love.
French.
Yeah. Well, French brasserie, you know. I don't want it too messed around. I don't like food that looks like it's been put on the plate with tweezers and, you know, it looks like all the chefs have had their fingers on it, you know. Because you have to, you know, "Oh, that's very nice. It's all in a tower. I wonder how you got it in a tower."
So you imagine all to get it in a tower, all the chefs come and they hold a different
all
size.
All their little fingers. You watch MasterChef, they're all touching everything. They're putting their no gloves, nothing. They're doing that. And then the next thing, they're wiping their nose and they're putting a bit more on top. And it's not how to prepare food, is it?
No.
But and that's what I think. If it looks too nice on the plate, I think, well, I wonder how that happened.
Yeah, plenty of hands have been on that.
Yeah, I don't like that. I want it splattered with a spoon on the plate.
Yeah. So you'd like the dream restaurant in this case to be like a French brasserie?
I bet it would be, yeah. I think it would be.
Is it in decor as well?
Fit into that. Decor, exactly what I like.
Yeah.
I like some tiles. I like a nice, you know, those lamps they have hanging from the ceiling, and I like the waiters with the aprons, and you know what they're talking about.
Yeah,
nice buzz around you. That's the other thing with very posh restaurants. You know, I got to that point where I thought, okay, I've had amazing food in posh restaurants, but have I ever had a great time in a posh restaurant? It's a different thing, and I don't think I have. The atmosphere isn't the same. Mm-hmm. Some of them are catching on now. There are some really good, you know, Michelin star pub restaurants, places, and I love those because there's proper atmosphere and they do it as a bit more casual. They've calmed down a bit.
Yeah. I think both me and Ed there weren't expecting that to be the end of what you were saying. Just stopped out of nowhere, Jack.
Yeah. No, I felt I was going on too long, so I thought I'll stop now.
What do you think about this, Jack? My wife used to live in Paris,
right?
And I went out there to visit her quite a lot, and we ate in a lot of places like that, some amazing restaurants. She used to live basically above a restaurant called Bulldog in the Marais in Paris, which is like that sort of place. It was probably like bistro restaurant. They did amazing confit duck, but it was called Bulldog because the owners had a bulldog that just used to walk around the restaurant. How would you feel about that?
Lovely. Dogs welcome. Dogs are welcome in any restaurant I go to. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really nice. It's civilized, and it's more home from home. It means they're not taking themselves too seriously. You know, the whole health and safety thing is a nonsense. Why are you allowed to bring your dog into one restaurant and not another one? It's, you know, it's health and safety. Well, why don't they have it? Well, they do, because they know it's not true. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
What if you got in and that dog pulled your chair out for you so you could sit down, and then underneath you, and Jane didn't see it, and then Jane sat down.
If she was in the restaurant and she just didn't see that happen.
She didn't see it. She was sitting down. She was sorting herself. She was calling the chef a cunt or whatever she was doing. And you're sitting down, and the bulldog just pulls the seat out for you.
You see the bulldog pull Jane's seat out for her and tuck her in, and she doesn't notice.
She doesn't realise it's a dog.
Yeah.
That would be a harder thing. But then she'd think, I was just, you know, just taking the piss.
Is that the sort of thing you would do anyway?
She might think, why keep telling me that the dog did that? You know, you're spoiling the meal now, because, you know, you come out for a meal and you're just lying to me.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Yeah. I don't think you're going to be able to get Jack in any situation where he lets Jane know when an animal does something out of the ordinary to him.
We'll see.
I saw this meme that was going around, you know, one of those videos on YouTube where the crocodile eats a drone. Did you see that one?
No.
There was a drone that was flying over some crocodiles, and then the last thing you see is these big teeth come out and whack it and just take it out of and that's the end of the drone. And I watched that and thought it was amazing, but I didn't tell Jane. She want to know all about what happened to the crocodile. Who cares? Is a crocodile eating a drone? That's all we need to know.
Well, what if, though, Jane, you know, you get home today and Jane goes, oh, Jack, I saw this really funny video. It's of a drone's going along and these crocodiles, and this crocodile comes up and eats it. You've got to watch it.
I probably would pretend I hadn't seen it.
Yeah.
And then just because
that's another conversation, isn't
it? Then I'd say, oh, I know. She said, well, what do you mean? Why didn't you tell me?
Yeah.
Why didn't you tell me that a crocodile's eating a drone? And I don't know, because I never tell you anything.
We come on to favourite drink now, but we can probably skip it because everyone knows your favourite drink.
Yeah, well, the sparkling.
No. You love John Smith's.
Oh, yeah.
You love it. You plug it all down. Look.
Yeah, yeah.
That's you, Jack D. You love John Smith so much.
I wish, I would love it even more if they pay me to do another one. Yeah. I think my drink would be, I'm just going to keep it, you know, very, very general.
Yeah.
I'd ask for booze. Just. I'd love to do that to a sommelier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can I have some booze, please? just to see what they bring. You know?
I think they'd love that because they want to give you their opinion, right?
So they do,
they'd
yeah,
just be
yeah.
like, great, I'll just bring you my favourite thing.
Yeah, just go through all the different types of booze and come up with get the one. But yeah.
You ever been on a booze cruise? Because you love France.
Yeah, yeah. And I never have done that. No, I've never. You know, people do that because they think it's fun and they're going to save a load of money. And not that you can do it anymore because of the Brexit thing. You can only bring two bottles back or something again. But I'm not into saving money like that. I don't care if it's you know, 20 quid cheaper to get a ferry to France and then go in the supermarket there and then come back. Well, okay, but you've spent the whole bloody day doing that, haven't you? You know, and you've got better things to do.
Yeah.
So if you ask for booze, is there any booze that they could bring that you would be angry about?
Angry about? Yes. I don't like green booze. or turquoise booze or any silly coloured booze.
Novelty coloured booze.
I don't like that. Yeah. No, I don't like that. I like beer colour booze. Mm-hmm. And especially if it's beer. And I like I like wine and stuff, but I don't like green drinks.
I have another booze cruise question. Is that okay, Ed?
Yes, go for it.
If you had to go on a booze cruise with three other stand-up comedians.
Right.
Who are the comedians?
Not Ivo Graham. He's not coming.
He's straight off the list.
He's not coming. With three other comedians.
Present company excluded.
I can't bring you two.
No.
Okay. Can they be from any period?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any. It's also a comedian that you.
Yeah.
You've gigged with.
Oh, as long as I've gigged with. So it can't be Norman Wisdom or someone. I can't. Norman Wisdom.
Wisdom would be a nightmare on a booze cruise, wouldn't he?
What are you talking about? He'd sink the ferry.
I would. Why would he sink the ferry?
He's a liability. It's chaos. Clumsy.
He's clumsy. Yeah. Maybe you're right. Maybe you wouldn't. It would be a danger to us all. I might take someone who I knew could do some heavy lifting.
Yeah.
Maybe like Ricky Grover.
Yeah.
Bring him.
Good.
I'd bring him. Yeah. Maybe Phil Jupitus.
Yeah.
You know, and Josh Widdicombe. those three.
Because Josh is doing the heavy lifting as well.
Oh my God, he's strong. Oh, because you know, he's only, you know, like we all know it's a well kept secret because he's 4 foot tall.
Yeah,
you know, and he's got the platforms for television work. But my God, he's strong.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've seen him lift some stuff. Yeah, I've seen him in a studio where you know they've got all the studio guys down at the gates. You know where the stuff comes in, all the scenery, and they're struggling. And Josh comes in. Do you want a hammer that? And he just literally just picked it up, moved it. I saw him lift the whole Strictly Come Dancing set himself, and he just lifted it through.
He's like,
where do you want it? Where do you want it? It's just like it wasn't a thing for him.
Where do you want it? Just plonked it down, didn't he? Yeah.
So he'd be handy.
Yeah. So booze is your drink of choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Your dream drink is just booze.
But we did, I mean, you said booze, and then you said beer coloured booze, ideally beer.
Yeah. I like beer, and I like wine, and all. I'm easily
Sounds
pleased.
Sounds like John Smith's to me.
Probably would be, I suppose.
If it was a pint of John Smith's, would you be disappointed?
I wouldn't be disappointed, but I would prefer something that's come, you know, like a real ale or something, probably, or I quite like an artisan lager now. I like that, you know. So I'm not, I don't plug stuff that I'm not being paid to plug anymore, you know.
Sure.
Because I'm not a hypocrite.
No, you're not a hypocrite. Do people ever send you, if you're ever in a pub, do people send you over like a pint of John Smith's?
It has happened. It has happened, and I don't mind that. That's fine. If that's their way of creating an anecdote for themselves, and then you know, I'm happy about that. But it's this whole thing of, do you drink it all the time?
Mm.
And I say no, because I'm not being paid to do adverts for them anymore.
Yes,
and that's where I draw the line.
That's the end of that conversation. Yeah. What if you were at a bar and the waiter brought a pint of John Smith's over and said it's from the gentleman over at that table, and you looked over and it was a red squirrel just looking at you?
I'd say, well, that's no gentleman. I would be amazed, because you know it's usually grey squirrels in this country, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I would be surprised to see a red squirrel. I think a grey squirrel would probably not be as polite as that. I feel. I think a squirrel, it was more like they'd flick a V sign at you. Do you know what I mean? They've got a bit of attitude. They would.
Yeah.
Are you more likely, because then obviously Jane will arrive at the pub, Are you more likely to tell Jane if a squirrel flicks you the V's or sends you a pint?
Again, I think we've been into this. I think I won't give any details to Jane on these things.
Either way.
It's more trouble than it's worth, you know.
But if you've got a pint and she arrives and goes, why haven't you bought me a drink? Why have you got a drink and you've not asked me if I want a drink? Did someone get you that drink?
In those circumstances, I might dump the squirrel in it. I might.
Yeah, it was him.
It was his fault. And I said, what about my wife? And he flicked a V at me. Yeah.
We arrive at your dream dessert. French?
Well, not particularly, but it's a thing that I really love. My favourite flavour, right, with dessert that goes with sweet things, you won't guess. You won't ever guess.
No?
Right? No, you won't.
James loves guessing.
I do love guessing.
Well, look, I'll be honest.
Marmite.
Even if you get it right, I'll lie and change it.
I appreciate your honesty up front.
Because I'm very competitive. But my favourite flavour is hazelnut. So you wouldn't have guessed that, would you?
But a
hazelnut meringue, okay, as in a roulade, right?
Yeah,
you know where the roulade, and you get the with the whipped cream inside, and then roll it up, and that to me is a complete perfection. I love that. Maybe even with a little bit of ice cream on the side that I make. I make ice cream sometimes.
You make ice cream? Here we go.
James is interested.
Here we go. What flavours do you do?
Well, whatever you want. I've actually got an ice cream van.
This is explain why you slapped an ice cream van.
Yeah. He legged it. And he threw the keys over his head as he let an ice cream. He said, just take it. I got everything I want. I got flakes. I got the lot.
Yeah.
Oysters.
You can, it's all in there.
I would. That would be my dream. That would be my dream pudding. Yeah. I would like that.
Oh, I've not had a roulade like that in ages.
Yeah, and you can have a
cracked and crispy on the outside, but really soft and chewy in the middle. Oh, it's delicious.
And it's very good with a bit of coolie or something. Very, very nice.
What kind of coolie do you want? And what kind of ice cream do you want?
I think something a little bit tart. To go against the meringue, something like a raspberry coulis or something like that would be very, very nice. If it was ice cream, it would be something simple like vanilla. You can't gild a lily once you've got something like that in front of you. You know, it's just perfection. I think it's... my mum used to make that, and I think that's why I love it so much, you know.
She'd make it from scratch?
No, she made it from egg whites and sugar. Thank you.
Don't mind it.
I've been here too long.
Absolutely love it.
Do you make it now?
Jane makes it. She makes it much better than I do. She's very good at that. I don't have the patience for that kind of cooking.
Yeah.
I find it annoying to have to roll things out. And... Mm-hmm.
and then roll them up again.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a waste of time, isn't it? It's a waste of time. it should come like that or not at all. That's why, that's why I like cooking mince. Because you can't, there's nothing more to do to it, is there? You can't shape it.
How much do you like cooking mince? Like, if you know that you're going to cook some mince, how much are you looking forward to it?
If I'm honest, look, I've been a parent for nearly 30 years. I've got 4 kids, so I'm over cooking mince. I've done enough of my mince. I've cooked every configuration of mince.
Mm-hmm. So you cook mince for your kids a lot when they're growing up?
It's a regular thing, isn't it? It's part of the diet. You do mince shepherd's pie. You do mince of, spaghetti bolognese. It's basically all mince. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Confit mince we were doing at one point.
You got top 3 mince dishes that you used to cook for your kids?
We were talking about curry earlier on, but have you had the
keema? Yeah.
Where it's a like minced and peas and curry, and you don't get it very much in London, but up north, Manchester, Birmingham, it's quite regularly on the menus up there, and that's one of my favourite things. It's delicious, just minced lamb with spices in it. Of course, that's a Moroccan thing as well, and that's really great. So I'd have that. That's quite a posh answer to that one. But I don't mind. I love a bolognese. I like a bolognese.
Yeah.
It's got very little to do with the Italian food, is it? You go to Italy, ask for bolognese. they think, who's this idiot?
Yeah. They're not.
No.
I want to know more about you, your ice cream that you make yourself, because I feel like if we end this episode and we haven't really dug into your ice cream making...
Do you actually make ice cream yourself, or was that a build-up to the ice cream van callback?
No. I make it. Great. No, and that's why we... I do make it. I've got the churn thing, and I cheat with ice cream. I'm not into doing it with the eggs and stuff. I just do, you know, double cream, milk, sugar, and then whatever flavouring you want. And then once you've got your vanilla ice cream, you can put it in a thing. And then if you've got some coulis, for instance, put it in, give it a very quick whip around, and you got raspberry ripple.
Delicious.
That's how it's made.
Yeah.
That's how it's made. Or stracciatelli, you can do that with bits of chocolate.
Yeah.
And here's another thing.
Yeah.
Chocolate mint chip ice cream.
Yeah.
Well, I've made that, and I thought that was really, really delicious. But next time I'm going to make it, instead of milk chocolate, I'm going to make it with plain chocolate, and that'll be a posh version of chocolate chip mint. Doesn't work.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't work.
No,
it doesn't work. It's not as good. It was a disappointment. It has to be milk. You wouldn't have thought that, would you?
No, I thought dark chocolate would be better.
No, so if you ever go to a restaurant and they say, oh, we've got a special, it's not any old chocolate mint chip ice cream. Ours is made with dark chocolate. Just walk away. Don't go anywhere near it.
Forget about it.
It doesn't work.
It's difficult to walk away at that point, because presuming that's dessert, that is just running out on the bill, isn't it?
It depends how theatrical you are. Yeah, that's ruined everything.
If you drop some after eights in there? You think that wouldn't work?
I think that'd be a good idea. If I'm honest, I think I'm a big fan of those. It came off you like that, and you thought of it, and that's someone. Yeah. It's a Kettering type.
Yeah.
To cook
big time
chocolate mint, you take a load of chocolate chip and chuck it in.
Well, we all know how they do it in Kendall.
I bet that would be nice, because you know you can use Snicker bars and stuff in ice cream, and it's probably quite a good way to do it.
So talking about Kettering, it is reminding me of Crazy Udder, which was the milkshake place.
Crazy Udder?
There's a milkshake place growing up in Kettering called Crazy Udder. It's not there anymore. Closed. I think it lasted a year. But it was just milkshakes with chocolate bars in them.
Oh, okay.
Right. Then just put any chocolate bar you want in the milkshake.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay.
So, yeah, you just go and be like, have a Snickers one, have a Mint Aero one, or whatever.
How did it shut after a year if you lived near it?
Yeah, I know. I got a lot of them. A Mint Aero was my favourite one as well.
And when you left, that was it. They've closed down.
Yeah, when I left, that's it. Yeah, there's no point.
Where's that kid who always comes in?
Yeah.
He's gone. Oh, we're done. I never forget going to Kettering and having a Chinese meal there after the gig.
Lee Gardens?
I think it could have been. I can't remember the name of it now, but it was a long, long time ago. And they were not happy about staying open that late, because it was about 10:30 or something. I was trying to be complimentary. The food was was okay. I said, it's all right. but there was carrots had been carved into little lotus leaves, and we said, this is lovely. And he said, the chef did that.
Yeah.
And he said he stayed up late to do that for you, and he just laid all this kind of guilt on me for coming in late, and he has to be here at 8 o'clock in the morning, but he stayed late to do that for you. And I've always remember that he made me feel bad. I'd give him the compliment, and what I got in return was a guilt trip.
Yeah, well, that is, I would say, you've had the quintessential Kettering experience there. That is exactly what we're about, is making everyone feel guilty.
Yeah.
And make everyone feel ashamed and like they've done something wrong. And never do something nice for anyone.
No.
Unless you're going to let them know, do you know what, I just stay up to do that. Actually, just completely ruin the favour that you've done for someone. And that's
because that waiter was James
Aiken. Yeah, it sounds like it was me.
Yeah.
Does sound like it was me, and I'd tell you. Also, I mean, they're not going to impress you with that carrot like that, because you know their hands have been all over it. You're going to be like...
Well, that is the other thing. I think this is sort of before the days when I wised up to it and I was still impressed by a carved carrot. But that was my only experience of eating in Kettering, as I remember it.
I remember the first time my parents had a carved carrot at a restaurant, and that day
no one else has that level of recall.
No one
else can dip into the
it was a big deal, because they brought it home with them.
Did they?
I remember us as kids, and my mum was like, come and look at this.
Your mum still wears it as a brooch, doesn't she?
Yeah, it was a carrot that was carved into like a flower, and she was like, isn't that incredible? She was showing us all one by one. We were like, look at the carrot. And we were going, are you going to eat it? She's like, I can't eat this. I can't eat it. It's beautiful. The man thinks she just let it rot on the side, on the windowsill gradually. I don't need your menu back to you now, Jack. See how you feel about it. Water, you want sparkling water.
Yeah.
We can secrete cans all around the restaurant if you like.
I think that'd be a good idea.
You can get them whenever you like. Pop on some bread. You want a ciabatta or focaccia. Yeah. A little bit of both in a basket, I imagine. Starter, grilled oysters with breadcrumbs, garlic, chorizo, like spinach, stuff like that. Spinach. All at the table.
Do you want a few raw ones in there as well?
I'll have a couple of raw ones. Yeah.
And you can do that all on your own grill on the table as well. Main, confit duck, side dish, pommer.
We never did know what they were.
Potatoes and green beans.
Potatoes.
Drink, booze.
Yeah.
Dessert, you would like a hazelnut roulade with raspberry coulis and vanilla ice cream.
Yeah.
How's that feel?
Beautiful. This is one of the best meals ever. I'm so happy with it.
I feel like you're going to need a can of sparkling water after that as well.
I probably will need one or two. I'll have one on my bedside table for that, definitely.
Well, I mean, I think we've learned a lot about you.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah?
You already knew a lot about me when I walked in.
Yeah, you knew more about him than he did.
Pretty good, wasn't it? Pretty good, how much on it?
Well, there we are, James. Jack D.
Whoa. French. I didn't think it would be such a French meal.
It was so French.
So
I loved
French.
It.
Delicious, though.
Sometimes I love the meals that are just from all over the place and don't really make sense as a whole meal. I think that's a wonderful approach to the dream restaurant. But also, I like it when people make a decision and they stick with it.
Yeah, and he backed it up. He told us why he liked brasserie French cuisine. And that all sounded amazing. I'd love to have that meal.
Yes. I think he should be more open and honest with his wife about animals, though.
That's concerning, isn't it, that stuff? I mean, if Jane ever hears this episode, she will think, well, what's been happening over the years that I don't know about?
What's he been keeping from me about the animal kingdom?
Yeah.
James, he did not say grated mozzarella in a bag.
No, I mean, you know, that's famously Italian.
Yeah.
So there's no way that was going to come up.
Wonderful episode. Anything that you want to talk about, James, now?
Well, I think everyone should go out and buy Jack D's new book.
Yes, What Is Your Problem?
Yeah, What Is Your Problem? As you hear, you know, he's a great agony uncle. He gave Ed great advice.
I'd already solved the problem, but I'm glad I got to ask Jack D about that. I'd been planning on asking Jack D about my crotch issues, so I'm glad you reminded me, James. Thank you.
Pleasure. Always happy to help. Obviously, once we'd finished the podcast, Benito had loads of questions to ask Jack about all the problems in his life.
Yes, exactly.
As well. It was quite a long chat, actually. We had to wait about 5 hours to do this.
Five and a half hours, yeah. It's mad.
Yeah, a lot of problems, that boy. But hopefully, I mean, Jack, do you slapped him about?
Slapped him about, sorted him out, all good and proper.
All good and proper. So hopefully it's all sorted for him. I think everyone should go out and buy tickets to go and see Ed Gamble's live show, Electric.
Yes, starts in February 2022. edgamble.co.uk for tickets. I am going to many places. If I'm not coming near to you, you will have to meet me halfway.
Yes, and also, if you can't get in to see Ed on tour, then why not buy his new vinyl? It's a live vinyl show, and you can buy and you can listen to that at home and pretend you're at Ed's gigs. It's got wonderful artwork, absolutely stunning artwork. I love it. It is called You May Struggle to Hear Me Above the Crunch of My Enemy's Skulls.
Well, remember, James. Do you remember where people can buy it from?
Benito just sneezed, everybody.
He's not often heard on the podcast, but today you heard his sneeze.
He did a little sneeze just then.
You can buy my vinyl from edgamblestore.com.
Wonderful stuff. I mean, we don't ever say, like, join us next week and here's the guest next week, do we?
No, we don't, no.
But just checking.
We will be here next week, and there will be a guest next week.
Oh, that's fun. Good news.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Hello, I'm Lou Sanders, and if you've enjoyed this podcast, you might like my podcast, Cuddle Club. It's about cuddling, yes, but really it's just a way into relationships and asking cheeky questions like who was your mum's favourite and when were you last unfaithful? Previous guests include Alan Davies, Ashley B, Catherine Ryan, Rich Dosman, Ed Gamble, Nish Kumar and other legends. Get it on Acast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. And remember to CC everybody in if CC stands for Cuddle Club.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like, worry the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell. If you enjoy, there's another podcast is coming out. Oh no, the podcast is out now.
Yeah. If people have enjoyed Off Menu, will they enjoy Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains? I don't know.
There's a bit of crossover. We talk about maybe, you know, a couple of food issues. We talk about cutlery, and that's near food. We reckon it's out now. Not soon, it's now.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. If you like James and if you love Ed, you might get a kick out of this. But yeah, again, no pressure. But yeah, this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.